Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harab Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, and Ruven Hoffman. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I think you noticed this past week that we're really stepping up our video campaign. We've been working very hard to try to increase whatever chance Ted Cruz has of winning the Republican presidential nomination. The odds are overwhelmingly against him because of the stupid candidacy of that egotist, that megalomaniac, Donald Trump. Donald Trump has taken away most of Ted Cruz's supporters, and he's done that not just to Ted Cruz, he's doing that to all of the candidates that are not part of the establishment, or that are running against, that are pretending at least to run against the establishment. The other candidates are pretending to run against the establishment, but are really part of it. Ted Cruz really is the anti-establishment candidate. Donald Trump, the phony and the egomaniac, who has no chance of winning, zero chance of winning, is spoiling Ted Cruz's chance of getting elected. Let's hope something will change. Ted Cruz has been doing some great things in the past week. He did some great things to get attention. So let's hope that eventually this balloon that is known, this bluff, this balloon that is known as Donald Trump will finally deflate and we'll have a serious anti-establishment, true conservative, principled candidate like Ted Cruz going on to winning the Republican nomination. At least that's what we hope for. Even if Ted Cruz doesn't get the nomination, of course, we want, God forbid, of course, then we want whoever does get the nomination, whatever Republican does get the nomination, to be good on the issues that we're concerned about, or as good as possible. So we're trying not just to elect Ted Cruz, but we're also trying to influence the process as best we can. Because as we've mentioned to you for a long time now, Israel's very survival, or the survival at least of millions of Jews, Israel will never be completely destroyed. The third return to Israel is the eternal return. The state of Israel will never be completely destroyed now. But the survival of millions of Jews is endangered now. The possibility of a nuclear holocaust in which a large portion of Israel's Jewish population of 6 million Jews, a large portion of that Jewish population can be annihilated, God forbid. There can be an Iranian nuclear holocaust, God forbid. So the danger is very great. And if we had a president like Ted Cruz who has said that on day one he's going to start acting against Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, that would give hope at least. That would give us hope that we would finally deal with this issue and remove this threat of a nuclear holocaust. So we're doing everything we can on his behalf. And as you know, if you've been following things, the Ted Cruz videos that we've done, we're doing one after another, as you can see. The Ted Cruz videos that we've done not only are getting more and more views on YouTube and on Facebook and on Twitter and everywhere else where we're promoting it, but also I think there's an increased interest in the campaign that you see building up, and so thousands of people are now coming to our videos. If you add up what we get on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube, if you add it all up, thousands of people are now seeing the videos that we're doing. And that's very important because we're raising important issues and we're becoming a voice that is being heard on these Jewish issues. And at the same time, we're trying to actually, if possible, we're trying to help and boost Ted Cruz's candidacy. Let's hope in the debates that he comes out as the strong debater that we know that he is. Let's hope that he can somehow stand out. There are going to be 10 candidates on the stage on the debate that's going to be held next debate that's going to be held on August 6th. So let's just hope that he stands out in that August 6th debate and that he stands out in the other debates because he is a master debater, he's a master speaker. We hope that his voice is not muffled by all of this nonsense that we see with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, by the way, who on most issues was to the left of many Democrats. He supported single-payer health care, which is more left-wing than Obamacare, which is what Bernie Sanders supports. He supported a huge new tax on income and on people's existing on people's, even on people's existing assets, which is pure socialism. Again, something, even Bernie Sanders is not advocating as much of the type of taxation that Donald Trump was advocating. He said that he was very liberal on health care. That's a quote. He said that he was very pro-choice on abortion. I could go on and on enlisting his various other horrific positions on the issues. He's all over the place. He's a demagogue. He's a phony. All of this is basically an ego trip on his part. And again, he's spoiling things for a serious candidate like Ted Cruz. And that's just a crime. It's just a crime. And people are so stupid. How could people be so stupid as to be attracted to this creature who has no chance of winning, who most of his life took left-wing positions on the issues, who was a registered Democrat and gave money to all the Democrat candidates, gave money to John Kerry when he ran for president, gave money to Hillary Clinton, gave money to Bill Clinton when he ran for president, gave money to Ted Kennedy, gave money to Schmuck Schumer. I mean, how can people be so stupid? Gave $100,000 to the corrupt Clinton Foundation, which is their political slush fund. And now he's supposed to be running as the big conservative. He said he was leaving the Republican Party and becoming an independent because he said the Republican Party is part of the hard right. It moved too far to the right. He said the Republican Party moved too far to the right when Bush was running the Republican Party, when you had the Republican Party of Bob Dole and George Bush and George W. Bush, he said that is too far to the right. And that's why he became an independent and then he became a Democrat. He said the Democrats do a better job than the Republicans. And this was only a few years ago. And people trust him and believe in this fake phony fraud? Anyway, the campaign has just started, and already thousands of people are going to our videos, thankfully, thank God. And I expect that to accelerate. I expect that process to accelerate as we get more and more involved and the campaign begins to progress. So we're trying to influence things. We're trying to speak out. That's our obligation. We must all speak out. We're not allowed to be silent. This is a moment where we're facing... we're facing what we faced before Hitler came to power and the Nazis came to power before the Holocaust 70 years ago. We're facing that type of threat again from Iran, from a nuclear Iran. And the threat is not just the threat of a Holocaust against Israeli Jews. There's a threat of a Holocaust against America as well. And so we must speak out. We must do everything we can. We're obligated to. And hopefully, if we do everything we can, let's hope and pray that Hashem, that God in His mercy, does something to prevent this catastrophe and all the other catastrophes that are playing out right now, because a lot of catastrophic things are happening all at once, and we have got to face this and confront this and deal with this. And the best way to deal with it, of course, is to get a president of the United States who would take the right stands and and be courageous on these issues. That's why we support Ted Cruz. We'll see. We'll see what will happen. Donald Trump may spoil Ted Cruz's chances of running. He's taking most of his supporters away, just as he's doing to the other candidates. He's taking most of the support away and most of the attention that Ted Cruz would be getting. He's taking it away. But hopefully, if this balloon that is known as Donald Trump deflates, if this bluff finally is exposed and people finally decide to get serious, Maybe they'll start to listen to Ted Cruz, God willing. Let's hope so. In the meantime, we're setting things up for him. We're trying to make it possible for him to be able to rise. You never know what'll happen. These debates could be the jumping point for him. So we're hoping. We're hoping, and we're doing everything we can to push him into the debates. You know, only the first top 10 candidates in the polls get into the debates. There are 16 Republican candidates. Only the top 10 get in the debates. Ted Cruz is within the top 10. He's like in 7th place, 8th place in the polls. 7th or 8th place. But we wanted to make sure he doesn't dip down because of Donald Trump taking all the attention away from him, dip down below 10th place and then be excluded from the debates, because the debates is one chance where maybe he can really shine and really, really start to gain momentum. You never know what can happen. You never know what can happen. Let's hope and pray that that does happen. So we're starting to get more and more attention, and the tremendous worry in Israel about this nuclear Iran deal is getting us more attention for our Hebrew videos. Our Hebrew videos and our whole Hebrew presence on Facebook and on YouTube is growing because people are worried. And people who followed us over the years know that we're the one group that consistently warned about this all along. So we're starting to get more attention, and hopefully we'll be able to move things in the right direction. We're doing everything we can. And again, we're not allowed to be silent, and we're not silent, and at least we're waking people up and speaking out and educating both Israeli Jews with our Hebrew videos and the American people with our English language videos, which right now are mostly dedicated to electing a president like Ted Cruz, who will do the right thing and who will prevent these catastrophes. And by the way, the real worry, I notice there's a real worry not only among Israeli Jews, but even a lot of American Jews, or a large minority of American Jews, not most, but a large minority of American Jews, are really worried about the Iran nuclear situation as well. So this offers us a unique opportunity. If we can reach those people, the more people we can reach, we may be able to become a significant force in this debate, if we can reach those people, because there really is real worry about this, and we're the ones with credibility on this issue. And there's a real worry that I sense among Americans in general. That's why Ted, the idiot and the demagogue and the fraud, Donald Trump, is doing so well in the polls. Because there's a real worry among Americans in general, because they see that they're losing the country, and America is being lost. America is self-destructing, and the American people see it. And that's why Donald Trump, out of desperation, they're turning to Donald Trump. But we want to try to get them to turn to Ted Cruz. He's the one candidate that has not condemned Donald Trump. And so we hope that they'll turn to Ted Cruz. Let's hope and pray that that happens. Let's hope and pray we can influence things. This is such a dangerous time. And it is so important that we reach people. It is so urgent and so important. This is really one of those moments of truth in history when we have to do everything we can. I don't know if we're going to succeed. I don't know what impact we're going to have, but we have to try as hard as we can, all of us. We ask you to do four things to help us. First, please pray for our success. Pray that what we're doing is successful in both the Hebrew campaign to wake the people of Israel up and in the English language campaign to build a movement, a pro-Israel movement that will be very active and influential in the presidential campaign. Please pray for our success. That's number one. Number two, when you see us put up Hebrew or English videos, please promote those videos on Facebook, on YouTube, anywhere possible. Please promote those videos in every way possible. Number three, our news site, the great news site that Shlomo runs with great news stories. Comment on the news site, participate in the news site, check the news site out for the new articles. It's updated daily. Shlomo does a wonderful job there. Help us with our news site. Help us promote that news site. So that's three things so far. Pray for us, help us with our videos, help us with our news site. And the fourth and final and most important thing, we need your financial support. The more financial support we have, the more people we can reach. The stronger we are, the more people get our message, the more hope there is that we'll wake enough people up to turn this situation around before it's too late. Checks, money orders, cash donations made out to the post office box, of course they make a difference. Every check, every money order, every cash donation, it makes a difference. It enables us to do more, to reach more people, to be stronger as an organization and as a movement. So the wonderful JTFers who've been helping us out, you're doing something that's very, very important. You're helping out the one group that has been consistently right about this Iranian nuclear issue for more than 20 years now. The one group that offers the only solution, which is the Israeli Air Force or the American Air Force has to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. You can help us by sending checks or money orders or cash donations to the post office box. Or If you prefer, out of convenience, to do it online, you just go to the donate button on our Hebrew main site. Our Hebrew main site is hayamin.org. On top, there's a donate button in English. You click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently, through PayPal, help us with your credit with a credit card donation online. Either way, whether you want to send it through the mail or whether you want to do it online with a credit card, either way, it's very helpful. Let's hope that we can make a difference here. This is a very bad time of the year, Tisha B'Av, a time when both temples were destroyed. And surely enough, during this terrible period, during this three-week period, which ends today with the fast, the Ta'anit, the fast that we're doing today on Tisha B'Av, this period is a terrible period in history, and many, many terrible things have happened. Most terrible things to the Jewish people have happened actually during this period, and surely enough, the Iranian nuclear agreement that sets up the stage for an Iranian nuclear holocaust, God forbid, it was signed and agreed to during this three-week period as well. Another tragedy, but let's hope that we can avoid and avert the terrible consequences of this tragedy and maybe save, and God willing, save the lives of millions of people. Millions of our fellow Jews in Israel, and millions of Americans who are also endangered by a nuclear Iran. Anyway, so you'll be seeing us, you'll be seeing our videos, you'll be seeing our messages, you'll be seeing our warnings. I think we can be a little encouraged by the fact that, you know, that there is a spike in the number of people that are beginning to come to our videos again as the presidential election begins to heat up. I think you'll see more and more of that with the debate coming up in just a few days. We have the first Republican debate on August 6th. So I think you're going to see that continuing. You're going to see us continue to gain momentum, God willing, in terms of the number of people who turn to us and look and watch our videos to see what we have to say about the presidential campaign. God willing, let's work together, let's fight together as a team, and let's keep our prayers to Hashem to turn the situation around. If we do everything we can, maybe, God willing, Hashem will have mercy on us and save us from a terrible tragedy. All right, let's go now to the questions from our great JTFers, and we start out with Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Gary Burge is not a pastor. He is professor of Middle Eastern Studies at Wheaton College, Illinois, unquote. Okay, yeah, I knew he was a prominent spokesman for the anti-Semitic and anti-Israel wing of the so-called, I say so-called evangelicals, because how much of an evangelical is he really if he's an anti-Semite? And he's anti-Israel, so he's clearly going against Scripture. But anyway, he claims to be evangelical, and he has his followers, I guess, who read what he says, and he's an anti-Semite, and he's anti-Israel. I don't know why I thought he was a pastor, but thank you for correcting me. He's a professor who spouts the nonsense that he spouts. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, the Kevin McDonald I was thinking of is professor of psychology at Cal State University, Long Beach, California. He is an open white nationalist who has written that Jews have evolved to screw over whites. You were thinking of Kevin McDonald, the movie director, unquote. Oh, yeah, you know why Lewinsky Stinks I was thinking of Kevin McDonald, the movie director, because he actually did a movie that was anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. So that's why. And he supports the Muslim terrorists. You're right. And I actually forgot about this other Kevin McDonald. Yeah. This other Kevin McDonald who's a Nazi Jew hater. I mean, he's a Nazi Jew hater. You're absolutely right. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram to both of the Kevin McDonalds. They're both evil people. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, Jews used to have the golden calf. Now they have the golden Negro. Well, that's certainly true. And that's been true for a long time, by the way, because since the Jews helped form the NAACP over 100 years ago, they have been so, the self-hating Jews that are involved with this. The self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jewish leftists that are so into helping blacks who are anti-Semites, helping black Jew haters, helping other Jew haters. You know, it's an obsession of theirs. It's just an obsession of theirs. And you're absolutely right. It's a sickness. It's a mental illness. It's definitely a mental illness. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, please discuss sodomite pastors, unquote. Well, there have been cases of, unfortunately, of pastors and of other, you know, you have this type of clergy, and unfortunately in all the religions, you have a certain number of people who go into the clergy and are just fakes or just frauds, and they use it for their own purposes. And you've had cases where some of them actually then wind up exposing themselves as sodomites, either because they get caught engaging in sodomy, or they come out and say, I'm coming out of the closet, now I've decided to become a sodomite. You have this phenomenon, of course. Anyone who believes in this toevah is the Hebrew word that the Torah, that God in the Torah uses for homosexuality. It is an abomination. Anyone who does this is going against God's word and cannot be someone who believes in God. Someone who sincerely believes in God, cannot engage in this type of behavior or support this. Now, we have a phenomenon in Judaism, in Torah Judaism, that is called, they want to live like Bilam. No, they want the reward of Avraham, even though they have the life of Bilam. Bilam being the evil prophet who was having sex, by the way, with an animal. Who was actually having sex with his female donkey. Can you refer to, are there female donkeys? I don't know. But he was having sex with a female. In Hebrew, there is a term for that. But in English, I don't know if you can use the term female donkey. I don't know if there is a term for that. But anyway, someone will correct me if I'm wrong. And I appreciate, by the way, if I say something that's inaccurate, I appreciate being corrected, because we don't want misinformation here. Obviously, nobody's perfect and we all make mistakes. And, you know, if I say something wrong, I want to be corrected. But Bilam was the evil so-called prophet who engaged in bestiality and engaged in every other type of perversion under the sun. But he said in his prayer, when he was trying to curse the Jews and God turned his curse into a blessing, he said that he wanted to die the death of a religious Jew. He wanted to die. He wanted the reward of Avraham and of Abraham, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted their reward, but he wanted to live his evil life. In other words, he wanted to have his cake and eat it. But it doesn't work like that. If you're going to lead an evil life, you're not going to get the reward. You have to not only be righteous and potentially righteous, you have to actually lead a righteous life. You have to, if you want the righteous reward. And so people who engage in sodomite behavior or who support the sodomites, you have heterosexuals who support the sodomites. That's also evil to support them. If you do that, then, you know, you're going to face punishment. You're going to face punishment. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We go now to Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Do you know what Brahmis are? Are you aware of the term?" Unquote. Wandering Samurai, I am not aware of what that is. You got me there. You got me stumped. And now Wandering Samurai writes, "Why grown men are obsessed with talking cartoon horses. Some of these Brahmis are also sexually attracted to these cartoon horses." Unquote. Well, if that's what a Brahmi is, if a Brahmi is a man who is obsessed with a talking cartoon horse, then they can't have very much going for them in their lives. They must have pretty empty lives if the reason that they're in this world is because they want to be obsessed with talking cartoon horses. And if they're sexually attracted to a horse, any type of horse, a cartoon horse or any other type of horse, then they're mentally ill. Then they're sick people. People who engage in bestiality and homosexuality and all of these perversions, these are mental illnesses. These are mental illnesses. No, but I'm not familiar with this term, but nothing surprises me anymore, Wandering Samurai. Nothing surprises me. You have such insane people. I mean, you had a gay parade where they put a dress on a 5-year-old boy and they gave him an award. They said, "Oh, this is so wonderful. You're turning a 5-year-old boy into a girl. How wonderful." A 5-year-old boy. I mean, what outrageous child abuse. May God curse these evil people that do this to a little child. I mean, there's such sick people. You have parents who take their children, little children, and are already taking little boys and to give them the sex change operation and make them into girls. I mean, you have such sick people in our society, such evil. and such sickness and such terrible things being done. And these are the people who are being hailed by the media and by Hollywood and by everybody as if they're the great people. Jeb Bush, who is a so-called Republican, who calls himself a conservative, was talking about how wonderful it would be if we have transgender soldiers in the army. Transgender soldiers. Men dressed like women. They're going to wear a dress while they're in the army. I mean, this is just beyond the pale of insanity. And God doesn't tolerate this type of behavior. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. How long do you think it will be till Iran attacks both Israel and the U.S.? Thanks, unquote. Well, when you say attacks, you know, they are attacking right now. They're committing acts of terrorism all the time against Israel and against the United States through their proxies. Hezbollah is entirely financed, armed, trained, and directed by Iran. The Hezbollah terrorist organization, Hamas, gets assistance from Iran. So they're already murdering Americans and Israelis through acts of terrorism. They murdered hundreds and hundreds of American soldiers in Iraq and in Afghanistan. The Iranians themselves directly murdered hundreds of American soldiers. They supplied weapons to the terrorists who murdered them. They directed the attacks against them. So they're already attacking the United States and Israel. They're at war with the United States and Israel. But I think you're referring to the possibility of a nuclear war. And that, you know, obviously if they obtain nuclear weapons, we're in a lot of trouble if that happens. This world becomes a much more dangerous place. And especially Israel and the United States are placed in terrible jeopardy if that happens. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. We go now to Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, Jews are crazy, but the Goyim are catching up. How long before the U.S. starts giving back land to Mexico? Thank you. Actually, right now, the United States is giving the whole country over to Mexico, all 50 states to Mexico, because there's an invasion of the United States that's taking place now. White Anglos have negative population growth. In other words, more white Anglos die every year than are born, which is the same thing you have in many European countries. More people die every year than are born, so that you have an aging white population with a very low birth rate. And then you have all of these third world groups that are growing like crazy exponentially because of the illegal aliens that are sneaking across the border and because they have a very high birth rate. The Mexican illegals and all the other illegals who are coming here have a very high birth rate. So you're going to see the United States taken over by these people. I mean, already the United States is almost 40% non-white now. Almost 40%. When I was a little boy, the United States was 90% white. 90% white. Now it's just a little over 60%. I mean, look what's happening. And that rate of that rate of growth from the non-white population is increasing. And again, when I say white, I don't care about the color of someone's skin. I really don't, but the cultural implications are very serious. Third world culture taking over and destroying American culture, that is a serious issue, and the American people have a right to defend their culture against that. And we as Jews have to be very concerned because these third world people coming in are very anti-Semitic and very anti-Israel, and they support left-wing Democrats that are violently anti-Israel. They support Hillary Clinton. They support Barack Hussein Obama. They support all the left-wing Democrats that want to destroy Israel. So Jews should be the leading advocates of fighting amnesty, of fighting all of these trends. Instead, all the Jewish establishment organizations and leaders are fighting in favor of this destructive trend. It's unbelievable. The United States is becoming a third world banana republic very quickly. The whole United States. And it's a tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy. Thank you, Kalman. We go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, one, discuss Vice President Dan Quayle, unquote. Well, Dan Quayle was the vice president when George H.W. Bush, which is George Bush Sr., when he was president, when he polluted the office of the presidency. He was a disgusting, horrible president. And Quayle was, you know, they always made fun of Quayle, how dumb he is. I don't know that he, I don't really think he was that dumb. I think that that was a bad rap that he got, that he was dumb. But he was an establishment sellout like all the rest. He wasn't, even though some people say, oh, he was a conservative. Oh, come on. He was an establishment sellout like all the rest. Benjamin now writes, too, the black kids were throwing rocks from the train tracks, endangering themselves, at the entrance to the tunnel that leads to the platforms. No one was there, but I was going to go there, but saw them throwing the rocks, so I went around instead. If they accidentally hit someone thinking the area was empty, how should they be punished? Unquote. Then they should be punished severely. Because if you recklessly, I mean, if you see no one's there and you just throw a rock on the ground, I don't know if someone should be punished for that. But if you recklessly throw rocks and don't care about whether or not people may pass and people may be in the area, if you just recklessly and negligently do that and then someone gets hurt or killed or injured, you deserve to be fully punished for that. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody. And then they should get, at the very least, they should get real jail time then. If they're endangering people's lives, they should get serious prison time for that. People have a right to walk on the street or walk under the train, you know, to walk under on the street when there's a train above, when you have a train station above. They have a right to walk in safety without having someone throw a rock on their head and endanger their lives. You know, this is just evil, despicable behavior. I didn't know that, Benjamin. I didn't understand that they were actually recklessly, that there was a potential there where they could recklessly endanger people's lives. They should be arrested and they should get real prison time for that if they're doing that. Thank you, Benjamin. And we go now to Guns N' Roses fan who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you think America will survive if Hillary Clinton becomes president? Unquote. You know, I really don't. I really don't think America will survive. If Clinton becomes president, she will continue this policy of giving amnesty to tens of millions of illegal aliens in this country, and I really think that's the end if that happens. Then America becomes even more of a magnet for illegal aliens from all over the third world, and I think it's the end. I think it's over if that happens. I really do. I think this is an election coming up, the election coming up next year. I think this is an election for America where America's very survival is on the line. Israel's survival is on the line, and America's survival is on the line. This is the most important election I've ever seen in my life, and I'm 58 years old, and I've never seen an election so important. There were some other elections that were very important where there was a tremendous threat to Israel and to America, but I think this is probably the most important we've ever had. I really believe that. Guns N' Roses fan now writes, please discuss Parashat HaShavua, God bless you, Edward, unquote. Okay, thank you, Edward. This week's parasha is Parashat Devarim. Parashat Devarim is the first parasha for the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is the fifth book in the Torah. The first five books of the Bible are the first five books of the Torah. And the fifth book of the Torah, Devarim, is a book where Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, summarizes the first four books. You know, the first four books were written entirely by Hashem. Hashem dictated to Moses, and Moses wrote down what Hashem told him, or at least inspired him to write certain things. The fifth book is Moshe Rabbeinu, is Moses, writing with prophetic inspiration, no doubt, but writing in his own words a summary of what happened. And the purpose of the fifth book is basically to give tochecha. Tochecha is a moral, to give moral lecture and criticism to the Jewish people over what happened during the 40 years of their wandering in the desert. That's what the book of Devarim is. So, Parashat Devarim, the first parasha in the book. So you have the book called Devarim, and then you have the parasha Devarim, which is the first parasha, the first portion, Torah portion in the book. And the parasha basically opens where we're introduced to Moses now, giving his review of what happened during the 40-year wandering in the desert, and his criticism. And it's important that we remember this, because there are a lot of Jews who say you can't criticize Netanyahu, and you can't criticize the Israeli government, you can't criticize the behavior of the Jewish people. You know, if you really love the Jewish people, now I don't love the Israeli government, but I do love the Jewish people. And if you really love the Jewish people, not to criticize them and not to try to wake them up and alert them when they're doing wrong is the worst thing you could do for them. You have to criticize and you have to speak out. You have to try to correct them. You have to warn them and you have to try to correct them. That's an obligation. It says in the Talmud, criticism without love is not true love. Love without criticism. I spoiled that quote. Love without criticism is not true love. If you love somebody and you see they're doing something wrong, you've got to do everything you can to try to turn them around and help them. And you don't want to criticize for the sake of criticizing, obviously. You want to criticize because you want to change things in a positive way. But whatever it takes, you've got to criticize. And you've got to speak out. And you've got to try to turn things around when people are going in the wrong direction and they're endangering their survival. And that's one of the lessons here. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us that lesson in the book of in Sefer Devarim, the book of Devarim, and in Parashat Devarim, this week's Torah portion. Thank you, Edward. And we go now to Righteous Sword 007, who writes, and I quote, "What do you think of the Locker Committee report on the IDF? Does the IDF need reform, and if so, how?" Unquote. Okay, good question. Yes, I do think that the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, needs major reform. I think that too much is being paid to career soldiers and soldiers who basically worked desk jobs in the army, and now they're getting huge pensions. They retire and they get huge pensions, and it's going to bankrupt Israel. There has to be pension reform. There have to be other reforms. There should be cost-cutting measures where necessary. No cost-cutting, though, should take place when it comes to necessary defense. When there's necessary expenditures on defense, there should be no cost-cutting. You know, the Israeli army could operate, in my view, much more efficiently, much lower costs, much more efficiently, and become profitable by selling some of the weaponry that they'd be creating if Israel did not purchase weapons from the United States and instead if Israel was producing all of her own weapons, not getting any foreign aid, and was completely independent. If that happened, I think you would solve a lot of these problems. But there is a lot of waste that goes on, tremendous amount of waste that goes on in the Israeli military, and there should be reform, and there definitely should be something to rein in these huge pensions that some of these soldiers are getting. Thank you, Righteous Sword. And so the Locker Committee report, some of the points they made, I certainly agree with. Thank you again, Righteous Sword. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Do you agree with the following? If you are anti-Israel, you're also anti-Jewish." I agree with it, unquote. There's no question that that's true. You know, anybody who's anti-Israel, who doesn't want there to be a Jewish state, and who tries to undermine Israel's struggle to survive and the struggle of the Jewish people to survive. You know, when you are anti-Israel, you are pro-Holocaust. Because if Israel doesn't win her battles, and Israel doesn't win her wars, and Israel doesn't succeed, there's going to be a Holocaust against the Jews. Israel's enemies are not just political opponents who want to make little political changes here and there. They want genocide. The Muslim Nazis that surround Israel want genocide. So if you're anti-Israel, you're pro-Holocaust and pro-genocide. You are a protagonist for the new Holocaust and the new genocide. And there's nothing more anti-Semitic than that. That's as anti-Semitic as you can get. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Rashi, who writes, and I quote, that's a great name, by the way, Rashi. Rashi was one of the great Jewish commentators. Brilliant. Oh, what a genius. I mean, just such a great Jewish commentator who commented on the entire Torah, the entire Tanakh, the entire Bible. And huge commentaries on Midrash, on the Talmud. Just a great, great figure in Jewish history, Rashi. Okay. Rashi now writes, Shalom Chaim, are you convinced U.S. foreign policy is to destroy Israel? If so, do you support... If so, why do you support it anyway? Unquote. Okay, let's deal with that first. Do I think U.S. foreign policy is to destroy Israel? Yes, I do. I think that U.S. foreign policy is to destroy Israel. The purpose of U.S. foreign policy of the State Department and the White House and Obama is to weaken Israel as much as possible until the Arabs eventually can succeed in overrunning Israel and destroying it. I really believe that that's what they want. I believe that's what they've always wanted. I believe U.S. foreign policy was to enable Hitler and the Nazis during the Holocaust to murder as many Jews as possible. That was Roosevelt's policy during the Holocaust, and the policy now of Obama and the policy of other presidents like Bill Clinton have been to eliminate a Jewish state. They don't want a Jewish state to exist. They don't want Israel to exist. I do believe that's the policy. Now, you're asking, why do I support it anyway? I think you mean, why do I support the United States? I do not support the government of the United States. What I do support are the tens of millions of Americans. They're a minority of the American people. They're a minority, but the tens of millions of Americans who are genuinely pro-Israel. Many of them are evangelical Christians. Even though we have religious differences, they do support Israel and the Jewish people. And some of them are good people. And I don't want to see them, I don't like seeing them get hurt. And they're about to get hurt very, very badly. The United States is about to self-destruct. And so, I think we have to be a light unto the nations. I'm just issuing warnings and explaining to them what I think can be done to not only to save Israel, but also to save America. I'm trying to... They're pro-Israel, and so I'm responding by saying, okay, let me also tell you what has to be done to save America. You can't have amnesty. You have to secure your borders. You have to do many of the things that we in JTF advocate. I'm just advocating moral policies. I advocate moral and just policies everywhere. That's all I'm advocating. To the Americans that are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, to the majority of Americans that were willing to elect Obama, I don't have anything to say to them. I despise anyone who's against Israel and against the Jewish people. I despise them. But the many millions of Americans who really and genuinely want Israel to succeed and don't want Israel to be hurt, those people are human beings with families, and I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And so I think we should tell them, when we see self-destructive things happening, self-destructive policies, I think we should give them the moral message, and I think we should be the light unto the nations. Rashi now, and again, that doesn't mean the United States government is a different story. The government I'm against, but the American people and the concept of the United States of America as a nation, I don't want to see the tens of millions of people that are part of that minority that is pro-Israel, I don't want to see them hurt. I certainly don't want to see them face destruction. Rashi writes now, opinion on Alan Dulles, unquote. Alan Dulles was the son of the Secretary of State, John Forster Dulles, Yimach Shmo. And Alan Dulles was an evil... The whole Dulles family were all Nazis. They were all Nazis. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Alan Dulles... I mean, there's so many people in the Dulles family that were active. I think he was the son of Secretary of State John Forster Dulles, if I'm not mistaken. I know he was related to John Forster Dulles, but the whole Dulles family were Nazis. And I know that Alan Dulles represented I.G. Farben. I.G. Farben was the German Nazi company. I'm talking about during, right leading up to the Holocaust. They represented the company that the I.G. Farben was the German Nazi company that made Zyklon B gas for the gas chambers. And the Dulles family represented many other Nazi companies that were deeply involved in the murder of 6 million Jews. So the Dulles family were Nazis. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram to them. May their names and memories be obliterated. Thank you, Rashi. We go now to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Is NATO too powerful? Does it pose a danger to Israel?" Unquote. Absolutely. NATO bombed the living daylights out of the Serbs. It was the most unjust, outrageous campaign. The Serbs were trying to defend themselves against the Bosnian Muslim Nazis and later against the Albanian Muslim Nazis. And NATO supported the Albanian Muslim Nazis and supported the Bosnian Muslim Nazis and the Croat Nazis against the Serb people who were trying to defend themselves. So NATO is an evil force. NATO has already created two more Muslim countries in Europe. We already had the Muslim nation of Albania. They had to create Bosnia and Kosovo. Kosovo, they just stole Bosnia and Kosovo from the Serb nation. Both of those are nations that belong to the Serb people. They were stolen from Serbia. And bombed and murdered Serbs and forced Serbia to accept a terrible, terrible arrangement where Serb land was stolen, and the Serbian heartland in Kosovo was stolen from them. Terrible. And there are constant threats that eventually they may do this to Israel, that they'll try to impose this type of thing on Israel. Except with Israel, it would be national suicide. So yes, they're a danger to Israel, and yes, they're too powerful. I don't think they should exist at all. I don't think NATO should exist. I think every country should act in its own sovereign interests, and I don't think there should be this UN-type alliance called NATO. Tag Mechir Tzedek now writes, "Is Russia justified opposing NATO since it, NATO, expanded and has missiles close to Russia?" Unquote. No, I don't defend Russia either. I mean, that's a situation where you have both sides that are evil. Russia and Ukraine are both bad players, are both bad actors on the world stage. The Ukrainians, of course, were notorious Nazis. They murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews during the Holocaust. And the Russians are now doing everything they can to make Iran nuclear. I mean, they're also Nazis. Now, they fought against the German Nazis in World War II, but they've always hated the Jews. They've always wanted to destroy the Jews. So, you know, in the Russia-Ukraine dispute and in the dispute between Russia and Poland and these other countries, you got a situation where both sides are bad. NATO is bad and Russia is bad. Both sides are bad in that dispute. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. I know it's always more convenient to have one side good and one side bad, but there are times when both sides are terrible. When you don't have that, when both sides are just rotten and evil. Okay. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And we go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom, what do you think of Obama's pilgrimage to Kenya and Israel's new defense pact with the Greeks?" Unquote. Well, Barack Hussein Obama went home to Kenya. And by the way, that's what all the newspaper headlines in Kenya and all the signs said, "Welcome home." Because that is his home, and that's where he should go and live. He should live there, and the people, all the welfare recipients, drug addicts, and housing project schmutz that voted for him, they should all go with him to Kenya. That's where they belong. They belong in Kenya. They belong in Uganda. They belong in Jahannam. I mean, that's where they belong. Jahannam is actually Arabic. It's an Arabic word for hell. But that's where they belong, and that is hell. The Black Africa is hell. The African continent is a horrific continent. But that's, you know, they always say, "Oh, it's such a wonderful continent, Mother Africa." So go there. Go there. Please, do us all a favor. Hiram now asks about Israel's new defense pact with the Greeks. I think Israel should make defense pacts as long as it's in Israel's best interests. Turkey, Muslim Turkey, is against Israel, always was, and we always warned about that, and everybody said, "No, you're crazy. Turkey is an ally of Israel." Such stupid Jews. Such stupid Jews. And again, I love the Jewish people, but they're so stupid. They are so hopelessly stupid when it comes to their survival. What a miracle. I mean, God miraculously lets them survive. They survive in spite of themselves. Israel should have arrangements with Greece if it benefits Israel's interests. If it benefits Israel's interests and Israel can sell weapons to Greece, and they can coordinate against Turkey. Why not? If Turkey is working against Israel, why not? The Greeks and the Turks are enemies, and so this is a counterbalance against Turkey. I have no problem with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Again, I don't trust Israel's leaders, though, to do things that are in Israeli interests. If they do things that are in Israeli interests, I wouldn't have any problem with it. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, debunk Daniel C. Peterson and Martin Ling's claim Muhammad used Devarim chapter 20, verses 10 to 14, when he attacked Banu Banu Quraiza. Why do Jew haters blame Torah? Okay, unquote. Because they're Jew haters. I mean, come on. Anybody who reads the Torah and reads the Quran, I mean, there isn't the slightest similarity. The Quran is just a book of Nazi hatred toward all non-Muslims. The Torah is a moral, magnificent book written by God Himself, or inspired by God Himself, in which we see the secrets as to why the world was created, what our purpose in life is. Jews and Gentiles can find why the world was created and the secrets of the world in that great book in the Torah. To compare that to this lunacy of the Nazi Quran is just an obscenity. It's just only Jew haters would make such a ridiculous comparison. And when the Jews are commanded to destroy their enemies in the Torah, that's completely justified. You do unto them what they want to do to you. If they want to destroy you, they deserve to be destroyed. If they're a mortal threat to your very existence, you have to do what you have to do to survive. And you want to clean the land of the filth that they bring into the land. When the Torah commands the Jews to get rid of that, it's absolutely, absolutely correct and justified. To compare that to the Quran. Now, the Jews also gave warnings to all the nations of Canaan, you know, they were told they could peacefully leave if they wished. But if they insisted upon staying there and continuing to pollute the land with their evil practices of throwing their firstborn into the fire of their idols and committing the most despicable, horrific acts of barbarism and cruelty, the Jews not only had a right but an obligation to say to them, we're giving you a chance to leave peacefully. We don't want to make war against you. And every nation was given that chance, was given that opportunity. But if you insist upon staying, and if you insist upon threatening our existence and preventing us from living in the homeland that God gave us, then we're going to wage war against you. And when we wage war, it's going to be the type of war that you wage against us, which means a total war of destruction. It's perfectly just and perfectly appropriate what the Torah said. Everything God does is just. And everything the Torah says is coming true before our own eyes, unlike the crazy Quran. Thank you, Smash Islam. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, please discuss, one, Dov Heiken's civil disobedience at Schumer's office, unquote. I applaud Dov Heiken for getting arrested at Schmuck Schumer's office to demand that Schmuck Schumer oppose the Iran nuclear bomb-making agreement. Dov Heiken should be praised. He didn't want to be silent. He was willing to engage in civil disobedience and get arrested. Helen Friedman was with him. She was the head of Americans for a Safe Israel. She also got arrested. I praise those people that were involved in that protest. God bless them. God bless them. They're trying their best to deal with a bad situation. And they deserve to be, when somebody does something good, they deserve to be praised. Dr. Dan now writes, too, Fagi Meir, ex-Chassid, who killed herself, unquote. Well, I don't know the whole story here. I know that she left I think she was with the Bells Chassidim, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Bells. And she was going through a lot of pain. Look, she obviously was a sick person. She was a 30-year-old woman. Nice-looking 30-year-old woman. takes a life, kills herself. I mean, obviously, this is a woman who was disturbed, was deeply disturbed. A sad story, very sad story. You have people, there are certain people who were disturbed. Dr. Dan now writes, three, how does Israel observe Tisha B'Av, unquote? Israel observes it the same way that the Jews in the Galut observe it. Fast, a complete fast, just like Yom Kippur. And then various other changes. No wearing of any leather, including leather shoes. And the restrictions that we have. As far as I know, I don't think there's any difference between the restrictions that we see in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land, to observe Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day when both temples were destroyed, that symbolized the destruction of, really, of both kingdoms of Israel, and the Galut, the exile, both times in Jewish history. So it's a terrible, terrible day, and many other terrible things happened on Tisha B'Av. Terrible. The worst day of the year for the Jewish people. I think the observance is basically the same both in Eretz Yisrael and in the Galut, except in Eretz Yisrael it's much more, you know, you see much more of it because almost one third of Israeli Jews are religious. Roughly 30% of Israeli Jews are religious, whereas in America it's only about 10% of American Jews are religious. So 30% versus 10%, that's a huge difference. If 30% of the Jews in a country are religious, that's a huge portion of the population. Plus you have what you call the Masortim, the traditionalist Jews, who are not really religious and don't really observe, but they observe certain things. So, you know, in Israel you have much more of a religious flavor and a much more Jewish atmosphere in many parts of Israel. Maybe not in Tel Aviv, which is a disgusting place, but in many parts of Israel you have a much more Jewish atmosphere than you would have in the United States. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to Gimatria, who writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. What can you tell us about Sidney Zion? Why was he opposed to smoke-free restaurants?" Unquote. Yeah, he was obsessed with that because he was a smoker. He wanted to be able to smoke in the restaurant. Oh, he was such a nut. He was so crazy. I mean, I don't know. He passed. He's not with us anymore. But he wrote and said some terrible things. Against good Jews. He attacked good Jews. There were times when he attacked good Jews, and there were times when he praised horrible people. I remember he had a column in the New York Daily News, which doesn't have any readers anymore. The New York Daily News is a dead newspaper already. But at the time, they had a lot of readers, and he had a column. And in his column, he used to say, every single column, he would say, "Bill Clinton, who is the most pro-Israel president ever, he's so pro-Israel." He kept writing that over and over again to support the Clintons. While Clinton was pressuring Israel to commit national suicide, while Clinton was demanding that Israel go back to the pre-1967 borders, and nearly got an agreement where Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat were going to work it out at the Camp David summit, where they nearly did go back to the pre-1967 borders, and Sidney Zion was supporting Bill Clinton 100%. And during Oslo, when Bill Clinton was pushing Oslo and supporting Arafat, the Clintons invited Arafat to the White House 24 times. To the Oval Office, more than any other foreign leader. The Clintons honored Arafat, the mass murderer, the Arab Hitler, with huge dinners. But the issues that Sidney Zion was concerned with, all types of issues. He supported evil people many times and defended evil people many times. There were times when he said things that were good and stood for things that were good, but most of his life he stood for a lot of things that were bad. He owned a bar. He had a bar, and the reason he had a bar is because he was a drunk. He loved to drink all the time. And he loved to smoke. So, what can I say? And of course He wound up dying when he was, I think he was in his late 60s when he died, because, you know, smoking and drinking, you're not going to live a very long life if you smoke and drink all the time. Gimatria now writes, thoughts on the Holocaust Museum. Oh, I can't stand the Holocaust Museum. They have a section for the gays. They're so politically correct. They're so disgusting. Just disgusting. I'm not saying that we shouldn't know what happened in the Holocaust. But you should know that the people that are behind these museums and other exhibits, I mean, they have an agenda. And their agenda is not good for the Jewish people. Thank you, Gimatria. And we go now to Tselhar, who writes, and I quote, is what is going on with Iran enough to make a few percent of the gynos see the error of their ways, or at least admit it's very bad for Israel, but they don't care, unquote? I think you may see a small percentage, the gynos being Jews in name only. You may see a small percentage of the assimilated self-hating Jews moved on this issue. You might see that. I have seen that. I've seen certain people who are very assimilated Jews, are not very concerned about many other issues, but this issue does bother them. So I think you may see some of that. And of course, we're going to try to move people in that direction. Tselhar, you are one of our senior members. You have been with us on the Hebrew Forum. Tselhar is from Israel. You've been on the Hebrew Forum and on the English Forum for quite a few years now. I think for like 7 or 8 years. So you're one of the witnesses to the fact that we've been warning about this nonstop all along. We've been the only voice that has consistently warned about this, and we've never changed what we've said about this, about Iran. So we should have aminut, we should have credibility on this issue. And I just hope that we can turn people around and change things before it's too late. But we tried to warn people over and over again. We tried to warn people, but they didn't listen. We're going to continue to try. God willing, maybe they'll listen now. God willing. And we go now to Mansh, who writes, thank you, Tselhar. And we go now to Mansh, who writes, and I quote, please comment on Yuri Milner, Russian Jewish billionaire, donation of $100 million to search for extraterrestrial life, unquote. Yeah, what a piece of garbage this is. What a piece of garbage. This is what he gives $100 million for. He's a billionaire. God gives him this type of money. And he uses it for this nonsense. You know, he's also a self-hating, complete self-hating Jew, completely assimilated, just disgusting and everything. Who does he give it to, by the way? He gives it to anti-Semites. To British anti-Semites that are against Israel. And that hate Israel and hate the Jewish people. I mean, just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I suggest if he wants to search for extraterrestrial life, I suggest that we stick him on a rocket and send him to Mars and clean the earth up a little bit. Him and the self-hating Jews like him. Thank you, Mensch. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.